All right, nearly 4 years ago, the headline, 215 bodies discovered near Kamloops residential school. In the aftermath, of course, we had the flags lowered, the Canadian flag lowered at half-mast for 6 months. The country was declared a genocidal, colonizing entity. We had over 100 Christian churches set on fire. The federal government basically turned a blind eye, shrugged, and said, well, that's understandable. They also gave the Kamloops Band $8 million to try and uncover the heartbreaking truth that somehow 215 Indigenous children were perhaps murdered in their sleep by Catholic priests and nuns and buried in the dead of night in unmarked mass graves. And to date, of course, zero evidence. Zero. What happened to the $8 million? Brian Giesbrecht is a Toronto Sun columnist, also with the Western Standard, and senior fellow of Frontier Center, or the Frontier Center for Public Policy. And the article, I'll post the link to the article in the episode notes for tonight's podcast. Brian Giesbrecht, welcome back to the Richard Serrett Show. How are you?
Well, thanks for inviting me on.
My pleasure. So the $8 million that was given to the Kamloops Band, was that given expressly for the purpose of putting shovels in the ground and trying to uncover the remains of these supposed 215 Indigenous children?
Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that many details about exactly what the money was given for, how it was to be spent, or how it was to be accounted for, because we just don't know. And as a matter of fact, the government went on to promise $320 million to other communities that wanted to make similar claims. And, of course, many of them did. And as far as I can tell, the public doesn't seem to be entitled to know how this money is being spent, what it's being spent on. The only thing for sure we know is that the Kamloops Band has not put one shovel in the ground.
But there have been offers, I think, even from international organizations that this is their work. I mean, they went to places like, the killing fields in Cambodia. This is what they do. They're forensic experts. They uncover remains, human remains. I think they've come forward and offered assistance. And so what has been the response from the Kamloops Band? They're not interested?
Well, they seem to be, it seems to me that they're very coy in their response. Maybe I should just explain, there have been some communities that have actually excavated. One, for instance, used the money to actually excavate the Pine Creek community in Manitoba. They were just as sure that there were bodies that were going to be found there. Their story was that the bodies had been buried by priests under the floor of the church. And then they had a big formal ceremony, and they had people out doing a proper excavation, and all they found was stones. There were no bodies there. So these people, just like the Kamloops people, they absolutely believed these stories, but the stories were false. And there have been some other communities as well that have actually excavated and found nothing.
So these Indian bands that receive these monies from the federal government, they simply have to ask for the money, or do they have to have any documentation as to, why they suspect there may be unaccounted for children buried someplace in close proximity to a residential school? Do they have to have any evidence?
I don't think so. Here, as much as the evidence I've found is this, that when the claim was originally made, that was May 27th, 2021, The prime minister immediately, as you mentioned, lowered the flags for 6 months, which was a clear sign to the Canadian people that these claims must be true. And they didn't even tell us that graves had not been found. The claim, the CBC all said graves had been found. Well, no graves were ever found. These were just soil disturbances detected by a rather junior person, and her report has since fallen apart. But in any event, Trudeau almost immediately sent his Indigenous Affairs Minister, Mark Miller, out to these poor Indigenous communities and said, look, we're going to make $320 million available to you if you just make a similar claim. Now, these are poor communities. It's like dangling gold in front of them. And, of course, many of them made similar claims. And then they started making increasingly preposterous claims. The chief next door said that children had been thrown into rivers and lakes and streams and furnaces. One community said 200 children had been poisoned to death, and the claims got increasingly preposterous. But there didn't seem to be any accounting. All they had to do is say, we think there are bodies buried. We think that priests have secretly buried children, so we want the money. And they got it. And it looks as though this money is continuing to flow from Ottawa and will be for a long time to come.
Brian Giesbrecht is a Toronto Sun columnist, also with the Western Standard, and a senior fellow at the Frontier Center for Public Policy. A quick timeout, back with more of our conversation right here on the Richard Saracho Saga 960. Toronto Sun columnist, Western Standard columnist, and senior fellow at the Frontier Center for Public Policy. Brian Giesbrecht stays with us, and we continue to discuss the $8 million. Well, not just $8 million, $323 million given to various Indigenous bands across the country. Who basically all they had to do was claim that there were unmarked graves containing the remains of Indigenous residential school children, perhaps murdered, and they had to provide no evidence. And to date, no evidence has been provided for even one murdered child or missing child. Now, this is not to argue, Brian, that there aren't unmarked graves. I mean, this is just a fact of life. I mean, there are probably hundreds of unmarked graves across this country that have fallen into neglect or have just been forgotten, maybe even plowed over in farmers' fields and so forth. So there may be Indigenous residential students lying somewhere in an unmarked grave, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Look, here's what I'm part of a research group, and we've known that these claims were false right from the start. But here's what we regard as the truth. Yes, children died at residential schools, and that was mainly from disease, particularly tuberculosis, but other diseases as well. And Indian children died in much larger numbers for many different historical reasons. But they were just about all of them were buried on their home reserves, properly buried. Their deaths were documented, but then their graves were not properly tended. And I'm not criticizing the Indigenous families, but for various cultural reasons, their graves were not properly tended, and their burial places have now been lost. But that also applies to Indigenous children who went to day schools, or the most of the children who didn't go to any school at all. Their burial places have been lost. It's that simple. And now the families are trying to, Tom Flanagan says, yes, he said, these are not missing children, these are forgotten children. So people now are wanting to find the burial places of their children. But there's this insinuation that there's something sinister about the way they died or sinister about the way they were buried, and that's absolutely untrue. Some people are making a great deal of money out of this. Unfortunately, some people actually believe these stories, but these are simply children who sadly died from disease, and they died whether they went to residential school, they died whether they went to no school at all. So there is no real story here. There's no reason to spend $320 million.
Well, as you say, somebody's getting rich. It does sound like a huge grift. It's certainly not the people living on the reserves that are getting rich. There are still many of the communities living without proper safe drinking water. You know, they don't have proper medical services, health, mental health care, and so forth. Who do you suspect, or who is getting rich?
Well, the people who are getting rich in this, I suspect most of them are not even indigenous people. We have universities, for instance, who are managing to get millions of dollars based on this missing children myth, and that's what it is. We have many groups, including lawyers, who are making a lot of money on this and will make a lot more because there are many claims in the work. Lots of people are using this missing children myth to make money. But as you say, no, it's not the poor indigenous people in the First Nations communities. They're getting nothing out of it. All they are getting is misinformed. And we have now this tragedy where many indigenous people absolutely believe these stories about priests murdering children and secretly burying them in the middle of the night. It never happened. But these people believe it now, and the government, and our very incompetent mainstream media is in large part responsible for this deception.
And if the people involved in this grift have their way, probably aided and abetted by the mainstream media and the Liberal government, this conversation we're having will be categorized as residential school denialism. We could end up in the clink.
Absolutely, Richard. You and I will be cellmates, I suppose, because that's exactly what's being proposed by a number of people. The former justice minister even said, yes, he was entertaining that idea of making conversations exactly like the ones you and I are having right now, illegal, charging us with some sort of offense, and it's really kind of frightening what is happening on this issue.
And you, a retired provincial court judge, no less, in Manitoba. Brian, always appreciate your insights, and thank you so much.